Hey everyone, my name is Randall Hire. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Well, the year was 2007, and I was 19 years old. And I had just moved into a little apartment with one of my closest friends in a small town in southern Manitoba. And I remember this one night I was sitting on the floor, and in fact, the floor carpet color was the exact color of the chairs that you are currently sitting in, a nice teal color. And I remember sitting on the floor, tears running down my face, as they typically do when God is doing a work in my life. I'm a crier. And I'm sitting on the floor, and I'm wrestling with God about circumstances in my life, about the calling that He has on my life. And I remember writing out my prayers. And I had this yellow notepad with red lines on it. And I remember writing out, God, I surrender my life to you again. God, I lay my life down at your feet again. Have your way. Do whatever you want. Take my giftings. Take my calling. Whatever you want to do, just do it. And I folded up that yellow red-lined piece of paper and I put it into the bottom drawer of my dresser. And once again, God was doing a transforming work in my life. Romans 8:29 says, "For those who He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." In that tiny apartment, in that little room with teal carpet, in that moment, God was making me more into the image of His Son, Jesus. By the power of His Spirit, He was molding me and shaping me into the man that He desired me to be. This is what we call sanctification. The Spirit of God takes hold of our life, and He lives and dwells in us, and He begins to move through us, making us more into the image of Jesus. Last week, Mike began our new series called Origins, with talking about Jesus being our Savior. And there's four parts to this series, mainly because our family of churches have been founded and built upon four main distinctives. We typically call them the fourfold gospel, and it's Jesus our Savior, Jesus our Sanctifier, Jesus our Healer, and Jesus our Coming King. And this is the foundation of what our family of churches, the Christian Missionary Alliance, this is what we've been built on. This is our DNA. Now, this week, I want to invite you to know Jesus, not only as your Savior, like Mike talked about last week, but knowing Jesus as your Sanctifier. So this word sanctification, it's a big word, it's a churchy word, it's a big Bible word. What does it mean? It probably needs some clarification. In its simplest form, sanctification means to be set apart. And so a great example would be most of you growing up, your mother probably made some pies or some cookies and said, "Now, kids, don't touch these because they're for when our company comes over." Anyone? I'm not the only one? Correct. Okay, good. This essentially is what sanctification is, in one sense, in its simplest form. It means to take something and set it apart for a purpose, for a specific plan, okay? It means to set it apart. Now, the biblical writers, they use it in two different ways. The first way they use it, Peter talks about being separated from sin. So in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, Peter says this, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" So it's a separation from sin. Another biblical writer, John, in Revelation 1:6, he talks about being made, he says, "He has made us to be a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So it's a separation from sin, and it's a separation unto God. John Stumbo, the president of the Christian and Missionary Alliance in the United States, he says this, "When God sanctifies us, he sets us apart for his special purposes." So there's two types of sanctification. One is being positionally sanctified, and another one is the progression of sanctification. So positionally, we are no longer, Romans 8:9, Paul talks about being no longer of the flesh, but we are now of the Spirit. We are people of the Spirit, and so we are positionally before God sanctified. And then Paul in Philippians 2 talks about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. So we have been declared holy, we are holy, we've been made holy, but now we are to work out our salvation, become holy. And it's this progression of becoming more like Christ. Sanctification is the process in which God, at work in the life of the believer, makes us more into the likeness of Christ. It is the fullness of the work of Christ in our lives. Many people, many believers are saved. They know Jesus as their Savior, but some fail to know Jesus as their sanctifier, the one who works in their lives, through their lives, becoming more into the image of Jesus. So how does Jesus make us holy? How does he sanctify us? How does he set us apart? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 29. John 1:29, John the Baptist is being quoted, and it talks about John the Baptist, and it says this, "The next day he," that is John the Baptist, "saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Now in this moment, John sees Jesus coming, and he makes a declaration saying, "Look, look everyone, it is Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. He is our Savior. He takes away that punishment of sin, that perfect, spotless Lamb. He is the Savior." And then if you go down a couple verses in chapter 1, verse 33, John continues and makes another declaration about who Jesus is. And he says this, "This is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." here we see John making another declaration. He's already said, look, this is the Lamb of God. This is the perfect, spotless Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Now he is not only the Savior of the world, but he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit. This word baptize means to immerse. Jesus is the one who immerses his children in the Holy Spirit. And Gordon Fee argues in his book, God's Empowering Presence, he said, it is the Spirit of God alone who distinguishes the believer from the unbeliever. It is the children of God who are led by the Spirit. Now, in this moment, John is declaring that Jesus is the sanctifier. It is the Spirit of God who makes us holy, who separates us, who distinguishes us. Those who have the Spirit of God have been made holy. He is the one who baptizes us in the Spirit, gives us this empowering presence to live a victorious life. He saves us from the punishment of sin, and now he gives us his Spirit to have power over sin. Jesus is not only our Savior, but he is most certainly our sanctifier. You may know Jesus as your Savior today. I invite you to know him as your sanctifier, the one who empowers you in this life. Again, I was in, a lot of stories come out of this apartment. I'm in the apartment, I'm 19 years old, and I have the day off work. And I decided to read the book of Galatians. It's not a long book, 6 chapters. And so I'm reading through it, and I come to chapter 5. And I get down to the fruit of the Spirit, where Paul is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And as I'm reading it, it dawns on me that these fruits of the Spirit, these are actually the results of living dependent upon the person of the Spirit. For years, I had strived to be a man of purity. I had strived to be a man who honored my parents. I had strived to do all these things, be the man that God created me to be, all along not knowing that I needed to be dependent upon the Spirit of God who would produce these fruits in me. Anyone have that experience? I think a lot of us, our stories would be, I know God wants me to do this. I know God wants me to do this. I know God wants me to do this. He's calling me to be a holy person. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And it might work for a while. Oftentimes it does work for a while. But we soon become tired and weary of striving to be that person who God has created us to be. The reason why is because we cannot do it on our own. We need God's sanctifying Spirit. We need the Spirit of God who produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It is the Spirit of God who works these in us. Through the power of the Spirit and the dependence upon Him, you can be patient with your coworker. You can be patient with your kids. It's possible. Bedtime. Okay, bedtime is a hairy time in our house. It is wild. Within 1 hour of time, we are doing We are doing stories. We are putting the PJs on. We are brushing teeth. We are combing hair. We are doing baths in 1 hour, okay? This, anyone else experience craziness at bedtime? Okay, good. I'm not the only parent. It is wild. We're giving Tylenol for that big toe that hurts every night at 7 o'clock, okay? Like, for some reason, this is a thing. I have no idea why. But that big toe is just hurting every night at the same time. And so, a couple weeks ago, we're doing bedtime. Things are going pretty normal. We're doing all the things. And I can feel the angst rising up in me. I can feel the impatience coming. I can feel the emotions of anger, and everything is about the top is about to pop off, right? And in that moment, for some reason, probably because I was preparing a sermon, I decided to say, "Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I am leaning into you in this moment because if I don't, I am going to lose it on my kids." And to my surprise, I actually was patient the entire time. Now, hear me out. I am human just like all of you, and there are definitely times where the Spirit of God, or where I am not dependent on the Spirit of God, and I lose my patience sometimes. But that night, the Spirit of God was doing his sanctifying work in my life. One of the things that we try and do with our kids is, in the last year and a half, is we try and push them towards Jesus. We try and get them to lean on the Spirit of God, because any parent will tell you that they cannot control their kid. Right? We can't make them do the things that we want them to do. We can threaten and we can take away candies and we can do this and we can do that, sure, and that might work for a little bit, but it won't produce the behavior that we desire. And so one thing that we've been trying to do with our kids is we push them to Jesus. And so this one time, it was about a year ago, and we were sitting, we had just gotten the girls in the car, and Olivia said something in a very rude manner to Becky. And out of nowhere, I decided to ask her, I said, "Hey, Olivia, would you mind just talking to Jesus for a couple minutes and just ask him about your behavior and what he would have you do?" And about 10 seconds goes by. And after these 10 seconds go by, she begins to ask Mommy to forgive her. She says, "Sorry, Mommy, I talked to you in a way that I shouldn't. Will you forgive me?" Probably not word for word, but it was something along those lines. That is the Spirit of God, his sanctifying Spirit, the Spirit of God living and moving in us to transform us into the image of his Son. This is Jesus, our sanctifier. The Christian life should reflect Paul's words in Romans chapter 6 that we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are now slaves to righteousness. There's this, before we knew Jesus and before he put his Spirit within us, there is this power that we had no other option but to follow this power of sin. We were slaves to the power of sin. But now that we have Jesus, the sanctifying Spirit, we are now slaves to righteousness. The Christian life, the fullness of the Christian life, should reflect those words of Paul. God desires that we would have life and that we would have life abundantly. It's plain to see throughout the teachings of the New Testament and the teachings of the Bible. Jesus desires that we would live in the fullness of the Spirit, victorious over the powers of sin. He has saved us from the punishment of sin, but now we would be empowered over that power of sin, that draw, that being a slave to sin. We are now empowered by the Spirit to live holy and pleasing lives. And I also want to say that this life in the Spirit, it is not just about winning the battle over sin, but it is most certainly being empowered in our daily lives to do the things that God is calling us to do, calling us to share the gospel with boldness. He fills us to overflowing, that we would be empowered to be salt and light in the world. We have people in our congregation, Judd. He's doing amazing things in the sex slave industry, right? He wants to see that eradicated. And how is he going to do that? But being empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the things that God is calling him to do. It's not just about being empowered to defeat sin, but it's about being empowered to do the great things that God is calling us to do. Like John Stumbo said, when God sanctifies us, he sets us apart for his plans and his purposes. He sets us apart to do great things. At the point of salvation, Christ lives in us because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But at the point of sanctification, Christ begins to live through us, empowering us. Galatians 2:20, Paul talks about this. And he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. I want to ask you today, are you living in the power of the Holy Spirit over sin, living empowered to do the things that God has called you, that God has set you apart to do? Are you living in the power of the Spirit, or is there a lack of victory in your life? I would invite you today to know Christ as your sanctifier. Paul talks about being in control of this, being controlled by the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. He talks about in Ephesians, he says, do not be drunk with wine, because that leads to sin. But be filled, be controlled, be consumed, be immersed by the Spirit of God. So, how do we get to know Christ as our sanctifier? How can we be filled with the Holy Spirit, be baptized with the Holy Spirit? How can we see this happen in our lives? First, I believe that there must be a thirst for this reality in our lives. There must be a willingness to receive the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. I will give him a drink. That drink is the Holy Spirit. Jack Hayford says, an overflow of the Spirit only comes to people who open themselves up to God and are willing to receive it. Oh, that we would be a people, a church, marked by the Holy Spirit, that we would be set apart by the Spirit of God for his plans, for his purposes, for defeating the power of sin in our lives. I know that I want this, and I know that it is hard at times when God is stripping us of the things that don't please him, that he's got us in what feels like a pressure cooker, doing that sanctifying work in our lives. But I know this, that it is worth it. So first, do you have a thirst for the Spirit of God to be moving in your life? Secondly, we must surrender our lives to the Spirit of God daily. We must be filled to overflowing daily. We must experience the reality of him working in our lives. A prayer that I was taught in my early 20s, and it is a prayer that I have prayed probably on a weekly basis, maybe even a little bit more, but it's, God, do whatever you want to me so that you can do whatever you want through me. God, fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Baptize me in your Spirit. Fill me up to overflowing so that you can do whatever you desire through me. Romans 12:1 says, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Surrender your life to God, holy and acceptable. Surrender. We must surrender to the Spirit. Thirdly, we must live lives of confession. I believe that when we are living lives of confession, when we have things, I'm sure all of you guys have experienced this, when we have things in our lives that are kind of just nagging at us, oh, I know I shouldn't have done that. I know I need to talk to somebody about this. I don't want to. It's going to be uncomfortable. But when we do, when we let it out and we say, hey, I screwed up in this area. I need your forgiveness, God. I need your forgiveness. The Spirit of God comes rushing in like a mighty rushing wave, and he is our comfort. We must live lives of confession. Hebrews 12, the writer says, lay aside every weight and sin that might hinder you, so that you might run the race with endurance. Four, we must set aside our fear. I know many people, either currently or in the past, who when this idea comes up about being filled with the Holy Spirit or giving control over to the Spirit of God in their lives, there's this fear of, whoa, I'm not giving up control. I kind of like the amount of control that God has in my life. I'm just gonna hold him right there. But because they're scared of what might happen if they fully surrender their lives to the Lord. What will happen if I give control to the Holy Spirit? What will happen? What will he do to me? I want to be in control of myself. Let me remind you quickly of who the Holy Spirit is. Okay, John 16 talks about the Holy Spirit being our comforter. Paul talks about the Holy Spirit as the one who, we've already talked about this, but the one who bears fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. This is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin. He is the presence of peace. Okay, this is the Holy Spirit. We don't need to be afraid of giving control over to him. And then lastly, we must ask for him to pour his Spirit out upon us. We must ask Jesus to fill us up to overflowing, that he would work and move in our lives. Many take this verse out of context, Luke chapter 11, 9 through 13. Many talk about this in different ways, but at the end of the day, it's about the Holy Spirit. So listen to the word of God, Luke 11, 9 through 13. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For anyone who asks, receive, and the one who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father, now here it is, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? God desires for us to be people of the Spirit, that we would be set apart for His plans and His purposes, that the Spirit of God, Jesus, the Sanctifier, would be working in us, conforming us into the likeness of Christ. We need the Holy Spirit for this. So I'm going to invite us all to stand this morning. And I want us to pray a prayer together that I have here on the screen. I'll read it out over you guys, and you guys can pray it in your heart. Holy Spirit, I am thirsty for more of you. I want all that you have for me. Jesus, would you immerse me in your Spirit? I want all that you have for me. I want to live a life empowered by your Spirit. I want to live victorious over sin and do the mighty things that you have called me to do in your name. As we move back into worship through song, we're going to sing a song called Fresh Wind, and it's a new song for our church, and I don't want you to try and learn it. Don't learn it. We'll sing it in weeks to come, but don't try and learn it this morning. I want you just to lay your hearts bare before the Lord and ask Him to fill you up with His Spirit, His sanctifying Spirit, Jesus the Sanctifier. So let me pray one last time and let's move into a time of seeking the Lord, that He would fill us with His Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you're doing in this place. Holy Spirit, we thank you for how you're moving. And we want to honor you in this place. We ask this morning that you would fill us up, that you would set us apart to live lives that are empowered by your Spirit, that we would be victorious over sin, that we would be no longer slaves of sin, but we would be slaves to righteousness. And not only that we would be empowered to win the victory over sin, but that we would be empowered by your Spirit to do the things that you have set us apart to do. So Jesus, we honor you in this place, and we ask that you would have your way. Amen.